Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Time. We all want more of it, and we all have the same amount of it. This is an episode you don't want to miss. Our guest today is Tracy Trepesky, an executive coach to medical and healthcare practice owners around the globe. Tracy teaches integrated leadership, executive development, operations consulting, and mindset mastery. Today, we are going to be talking about the art of slowing down to speed up. Tracy shares that what we've been taught about time management does not apply to us as business owners and leaders. I love her insights. You will learn the difference between time management and time leadership, and you're going to learn how to buy back one day per week for the rest of your career. You don't want to miss this one. Let's dive in and meet Tracy Trepesky. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Tracy. It's so great to have you here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So where are you joining us from today?
I am in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, by way of many, many places before that, but this is home now.
I've been there once. It was a long time ago. I went to a conference there, not a conference, a workshop there that I attended there. So I've been in that cute little town.
It's adorable. We love living in a college town. It's charming. And having lived in DC for many, many years before that, it's like,
yeah, a big shift, right?
Slowing down. Yes. Yeah. A nice shift.
So slowing down, what a good way to kick this off, right?
Right.
I've heard you talk about the art of slowing down, and you're slowing down to speed up, right? I've heard you talk about slowing down to speed up, and that's speaking my love language. And that I want to hear more about your story. How did you land on this theme that is so important to so many of us?
I think I learned it first myself in my corporate career. It was just constant. One of the companies I worked for was growing really quickly. And I think they grew faster than they were prepared to handle. And I was in operations and I was losing my mind on a regular basis. And so I was just trying to figure out how can I feel like I'm in control of the things that are within my command, right? And so one of them was how I use my time. I didn't have a lot of control over my schedule or anything like that. But I also think I'm pretty sure that I have like ADHD undiagnosed. And so I've had to learn how to deal with distractions and bring myself back and stay focused and all of that. And so I just learned that I actually get more done when I and just pause and look at what really needs to be finished and what needs to be accomplished. And so I figured out how to do that in a crazy corporate life.
You did that in the corporate
transferred
world.
Transferred that.
I really got to hand it to you because I certainly never figured that out in the corporate world. It was, I was making myself sick because, you know, I was in that space of go, go, go. And it wasn't until later that I really learned that when I slowed down, I could show up in a bigger way. I will say that I had a boss once tell me that he said to them, go take at least a half day a week where you're turning off your phone and everything. And we all looked at him like he was crazy at the time.
Thinking, we're going
to
get fired.
Time to do that. Right.
Right.
And he's like, I don't care where you do it. Just go be away from contact for a half a day every week. And I learned to, when I did that, some of my best ideas came to the forefront, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I think you're talking about this so that we can go faster because we hear something that's inside. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I work with my clients on like time leadership instead of time management. And the distinction that I draw is really that time management implies that we have control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just any management implies that, right? And so when we look at leadership, it's a completely different way of viewing and perceiving what's important and what needs to happen. And so I've built in these three pillars, and I will just tell you, pro tip, never try to do them out of order. It's not worth it. You'll just waste time. Nobody has time to waste. The first is about discovery, like really slowing down and getting crystal clear about what you want most. Mm-hmm. And this, and with my clients, I take this holistic approach, like everything. They're not off the hook for not sleeping or not taking care of themselves or, allowing themselves to be so busy that they neglect their relationships or the things they claim are really important to them. So discovery has to include every single aspect of their lives and business. And when we're clear, now we know where we're headed. And so the next step is not action, even though my clients would love to start there. Mm-hmm. Most entrepreneurs really would. Like, we want to charge out, myself included. Like, we want to just charge out of the gate and run. Right. we don't know where we're going. That's kind of pointless. So the second is about analysis and really getting clear about a question I love to ask. And I ask my own self this as well sometimes when I think, oh, I'll just handle it. I'll take care of it, right? But how much do I cost my business? How much do you cost your business in handling things that could be outsourced or somebody else could be handling all the time or that aren't actually important to be done? That's
a great question for all of us.
Oh my God. And you know, my joke is like, when you do that, when you really put your hands on it and you see how much you're probably going to like gasp and have a jolt and maybe need to go rock in a corner in the fetal position, just, you know, for a minute and then go, okay, all right, I see it now. And it helps us then, you know, decide what's most important by coming through our discovery and then into analysis. And the final pillar is action, which is really inspired action, which to me, inspired action means getting into flow. And that's just getting really clear for me. I mean, some people need to meditate and all that to get into flow. I just sit down and look at my list and go, okay, this has to get done today. Boom. And I can, for the most part, jump into flow. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of practice doing that. So, but it's once we've gone through those steps that we can actually get things done faster. And it's not that we're necessarily working faster. It's that we've shut down so much noise and so many distractions that it's as if time stands still so that we can get things done.
Yeah. You know, several years ago, I started morning meditation rituals. And those morning meditation rituals are just like clearing away the noise and being in that space. Very early on when I first started it, I'd say, oh, I don't have time today, right? I don't have time to slow down and be in this quiet space. And what I learned really quickly was that I was actually much more productive on the days that I did make that space. And the days that I didn't make that space, then I was not able to, you know, really fully be, you know, I wasn't all fully there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember who said this, but there's a saying that says, you know, everyone should meditate for 20 minutes a day. And if you don't have time, you should meditate for an hour.
Yes, I've heard that. And it's a good one. It's a really good one.
It is a good one.
Yeah. So you work with medical and healthcare practice owners around the world.
Yes.
As an executive coach, I mean, what an important space to be working in right now, first of all. I mean, that's, you just think about the pressure on time, on our healthcare professionals. How did you land in that space? I mean, what took you to working with that community?
I kind of fell into it. And then my purpose became very clear to me. So going back, just a short personal story or the short version of a personal story, going back about 11 years ago, so right around the time I was starting my practice, for real, I played at it for about a year. My daughter, who was 7 at the time, was having all kinds of like funky, weird symptoms and basically lots of GI stuff, but then all kinds of other things and a failure to thrive. And the pediatrician and the dentist, because she had several cavities, kept saying, oh, are you giving her juice? Like, maybe that's why her stomach is upset and her teeth are filled with cavities and all these things. And I'm saying, you know, she hasn't grown and she hasn't gained weight and she has to be on the toilet half the day. She's missed 42 days of school this year.
Oh my gosh.
At 7, yeah. Right? So, and then the pediatrician, God bless him, because it sent me in another direction, looked at me in front of her and said, well, I think it's because you got a divorce and she's making herself sick. And I was like, we got a divorce like 2 years ago. What are you talking about? So we found another pediatrician and went and got, you know, went to a GI specialist and didn't really get very many answers. And a friend of mine who was listening to me, you know, rage, cry, and be scared for my daughter said, have you ever thought about seeing like a more integrative, like maybe a naturopath or something like that? And I was like, no, tell me more. So we found a naturopath, short version. Within a month, my daughter stopped having these stomach issues. She grew more than she had in the previous 18 months and resumed all normal, healthy life. And now is, you know, 18 and ready to go off to college. So that happened. And I think informed the way I view healthcare, because it was extremely disappointing to be told multiple times that she was making this up. It's like, I would take her to a therapist if she was also like punching holes in walls or crying all day long, but like, she's just, you know, having GI distress and not growing. So this to me is not psychological. And so that was the first thing that kind of informed me deciding that it needed to be done differently and getting really clear that for the most part, I have a lot of respect for Western medicine and all of the things, especially for the big, bad, scary things that require, you know, really strong interventions. But if it's something that's a relatively straightforward fix, if we set the conditions, our body can heal. And so that's just always been in my mind. And I think it influences the way I live. And I think it comes through. There's some kind of resonance that comes through. Sure. So flash forward maybe a year or two, and out of the sky floated a naturopath into my practice. Because I wasn't working with, I was working with high-level professionals across the board who owned their businesses. I had a very broad niche at the time. And I learned a lot, right? Just by asking questions and helped him build his business and set himself free in terms of his time and energy. And then another person in the integrative realm, this time a chiropractor, floated down from the ethos into my practice. And then a regenerative doctor, and then, you know, psychologists who work in a more holistic sphere, and so on and so forth. And they just kept coming. And the business,
like, you open the door to the universal door saying, she can help you, really.
And you would think that I would have woken up to it and thought, oh, these people want to work with me and I should narrow my niche. But it took me another 6 years to do that. And I don't remember how many clients, you know, now I try to learn by the second or third time that something happens, like, oh, here's a pattern. And what do I do for a living? I recognize patterns. You know, with lots of self-love and appreciation, it took me a while to come into this.
That's awesome.
But over time, I've also recognized that it's really important to me, after all the frustrations that we've had, my own health included, like going to a doctor and getting a little pat on the head and a prescription for Prozac. And you're like, but will it, you know, will it make my eyebrows grow back or whatever, you know, will it fix my thyroid issues? You know, great. Yeah. Thanks for that. So they're limited for so many reasons, which is, you know, layers and layers and layers. But the people who are working in the integrative and complementary realm are bypassing the system in many ways. And that's what I'm all about. Like, if I can bypass the system and find a way to make it better for people, then I want to. So we don't really have limits. You know, we have law and we have HIPAA and we have, you know, taxes. And those are the things that we really need to abide by. And everything else is open. Yeah. And so as I've, you know, connected to this niche, I've recognized that for me, I want to help these people change the system from the inside.
Yeah. And you think about, you know, the pressure that our healthcare workers have been under for the last several years. This is such an opportunity for them, just another tool that they have in living their life.
Yep.
And the way they show up for their clients. So that excites me for you and for them and for our world, because that just means that there are healthcare caregivers are taking better care of themselves because of that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And the general population, even like, I have a client in a very rural, tiny little town in the middle of Georgia. Their patients at the hospital centers, not even at their regenerative clinic, are coming in. And instead of asking, can you fix it? Can you give me a prescription for this problem? They're now coming in and asking, how can I be healthier?
Yeah.
If this is happening in tiny little rural towns, then it's definitely happening everywhere else. So there's a huge opportunity for these integrative providers to come and tell the world who they are. Yeah. And help people.
And we're looking for them. I mean, I live in a little mm-hmm. rural town in the foothills of Colorado, and we are looking for those types of practitioners. I recently got to interview Liz Rankin when she launched her new book, Sacred Medicine. And it's, you know, we talked a lot about the world of healthcare in that interview, but she'd be a great person for you to be connected with. We'll have to connect you to her because
thank you.
She'd be great for your podcast. And just because she works with so many people in that space. And she runs a, I don't want to say it's not a university, but she runs a big program, big global program working with integrative healthcare providers. So she'd be a great connection for you. That just makes me say, oh yeah, we need to make that connection.
Thank you. I wrote it down.
I love to connect great women to great women. That's one of my things. That. So, this, we've talked about why you chose this space. You've been doing this for about 11 years, you said, and then you found it took a while. It finds for all of us, it takes a while to find exactly where we're going to be. Cause I've been about the same, it's real similar timelines. And what has been your biggest learning opportunity in your entrepreneurial journey?
Really, it's been to trust myself that I'm a very, very intuitive person. I also require logic. And so if I trust my intuition, I can go finding the data or the logic to back up what I have a feeling about. And every time that I have denied my intuition, I've been really sorry.
Right. Right. And then we have such a beautiful gift as women to, you know, that intuitive sense that we have that somewhere along the line got turned down. Mm-hmm. And if we really listen to that, that we can really guide our businesses and our lives.
For sure. Yeah. And it's a little, you know, kind of freaks my clients out sometimes. And it's more pattern recognition. I mean, to me, that's what intuition really is. But I'll pick up on things and then make a, you know, air quotes prediction for them. And then they'll come back and, you know, call me and say, well, you were slightly off, but this thing happened and I met the person that I needed to meet, or I, you know, landed the whatever I needed to land. So yeah, we need to trust that because it's, I think our powers of observation and for me, really rapid pattern recognition and finding meaning in that is how I get my finger on the pulse for what's next. And yeah. I'm not always trying to follow trends. I'm often getting in front of them.
Right. Right. So good. Yeah. So good. So I've heard you say that what we've been taught about time management doesn't apply to business owners and leaders. And I so agree. I mean, there's so much time management practices that we learned in the corporate world, but as entrepreneurs, as people running their own businesses, there is a whole new level of really understanding what that even is and how to, there's just so much, we wear all hats, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us more about that.
The conventional teachings about time management really imply control and like being able to manage our way through things. But as leaders, as the CEOs, as founders, as people, as visionaries, many of us are, that's so different. I mean, it almost goes up against the grain of being visionary, right? Like, I don't want to be constrained by some little box of time management or some concept, or have to open an app on my phone, yet another app on my phone, and track something. It's that kind of minutia, but it's also the other side of it, which is as leaders, as visionaries, we have a responsibility to stay on that really high level. Mm-hmm. And if we get down into all the little details, we lose, I think, a lot of our excitement and our ambition and our ability to see from that 10,000 foot view. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't apply. It does not apply. I think it's great for certain like really linear type work. I think time management can be very applicable. Mm-hmm. Like I teach some of my clients how to work time management conversations with like their admin staff. That's really important. But for them, it's more about getting really clear about what's most important. And for us too, I think us as founders of our companies, what's the most important thing? What are we working on now? And then how can I I need logic and like data to be able to convince myself to get stuff done. So I use like quadrants, and I have this, like if we were to draw a rectangle and put a cross through it, the upper left-hand corner is A, and quadrant A is the stuff that has to get done today. Right. And some of that might be a little fire extinguishing. Sometimes that's going to happen in a business, but mostly it's like, what are we accomplishing? So it could be a step in something, or it could be, I always put a couple personal things on there too, like make sure that I go for a walk or stretch or do yoga or something like that. But you know, what do I need to get accomplished today? And if that's more than 3 to 5 items of complete, it's too long and it's not realistic.
Right.
And then B, the upper right-hand quadrant is like, what's going to get done in the next week? And you know, each day you might be moving something from B to A. It may be in your mind's eye. You don't have to always write all this down. And the lower left quadrant is C, and that's longer term. So for some of us right now, I think still pandemic times and things changing at such a rapid pace, I wouldn't go much longer than a quarter, unless there's a big, huge vision and maybe you're stretching something out and then kind of plugging things in. But C is a sort of medium to long term. And that lower right quadrant is D. And it's really 3 Ds. It's do it, delegate it, or delete it.
Right.
So if it's a do it, because like something like silly, like, oh, I hung something on the banister of my stairs, and every time I walk past it, it's like draining my energy, reminding me that it's there. Just do it. It's not important to the day, mm-hmm. but I get that thing from the back of my head gone.
Right.
And it doesn't talk to me every time I walk past it, because now it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, something really simple. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, you know, I don't know, go climb a mountain today if you haven't trained yet. Like, that's not going to be a D.
Right. Right.
So. And I think it helps, right? It's a real quick analysis. It's this A, B, C, or D. Where is it landing? Each week we do a little something on that. And some of my clients need to kind of touch it every day. But at least understanding, like in a conceptual way, the importance of our time and the importance right. of what really needs to get done.
And making the decisions of where does this really belong in yeah. the mix of everything.
Yeah, being really honest, like taking that honest inventory, like, is it really important for me to write 75 emails myself? Or, you know,
can I delegate this?
Totally. And yeah. I'm not a zero inbox person. Like that it's never going to happen.
Ever. Yeah, that has never happened since the beginning of email for me. That has never once happened, and it probably never will. But I
just started an email, maybe
find any email that I need to find in mm-hmm. a pretty quick way. So
yeah,
there's something about that.
So many folders in my email.
Yeah. So how do we buy back one day per week for the rest of our career? I love this one.
Yeah, it's really about kind of applying that quadrant. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot more to it, right? Go through the pillars, discovery, analysis, and then the action would be create the time. Mm-hmm. So how much time do you want to clear out? Let's say it's an hour a day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a medical practice, 4 or 5 hours could be an entire workday of seeing patients. So that mm-hmm. could be an entire day. And the best way to do it is to get super crystal clear. And if you're not entirely sure, keep going in discovery until you run out of brain cells to support answering the question and what else, right? To me, I call it the aha question and what else. When you're really clear, it's so much easier to prioritize. And then because my clients are scientists, they need the data. So now they need to look at the numbers and look at all of that. And that usually lights a fire to figure out what the action is. And so it takes, you know, it takes time. Most of my clients, it takes them 3 to 6 months to really buy it back. But it's finding where we're frittering time, finding where we're doing things. For example, for me, it might be an admin task that really my VA needs to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, it'll take me longer to write the email to ask her to do it than it would have just done.
Yeah.
Right? No, it won't.
I've done that.
It never does.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, let's just use a round number. Let's say my time is valued at $100 an hour. That is $100 I just spent on an admin task that does not light me up. It drains my energy, and my admin could get it done in 15 minutes.
Exactly.
And I don't pay her $100 an hour. So like, this is a really great way to save time and money. So when we just find where we're leaving stuff on the table, where we're leaving money and time on the table, we can start collecting it. And over time, maybe even start adjusting our schedules. This generally doesn't apply to a medical practice unless they do specific different kinds of procedures. But in my world, for me, I time block everything. Oh,
me too.
And I have days.
Some days I forget to stay on track to my time block. Mm-hmm. I will admit to that. Mm-hmm. But I do time block a lot.
It's so helpful. And I use timers. I do all kinds of tricks, right? I'll use timers. Sometimes I plug into like concentration meditations on YouTube that are just music.
So you know and how long it's been. That's
and
a good
one. The 30 and 45 minute ones to get something done that I assume will take 2 hours.
Ooh, I like that one.
Amaze myself.
Right.
Ooh, I get so much stuff done when I do that.
I'm going to try that one because I use Insight Timer pretty heavily. So I'm on Insight Timer every day.
I love that.
But that would be a great way to, you know, sit down with a project that I'm going to be working on and just set the timer or set the meditation music. Mm-hmm. And that's a lovely way to do that versus like a buzzer kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then time's not really running out.
Mm-hmm.
Sites.
You're in space. You're just there, which is lovely.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of that right there is because it's not like you're like, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. It's a total mind shift.
Yeah. And for me, I can get into a flow space. I also make sure if I'm going to work on something that requires my full attention, that I have as few distractions as possible. I'm really loving the latest Apple update where when I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, it also puts my laptop on Do Not Disturb. Mm. So I can do a focus time and nothing, they come in, I think, but I don't get any alerts or anything like that, which is great. And then I don't get distracted. So I have all notifications except for text and
I definitely have that
phone calls turned off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just, you know, I think one of the things entrepreneurs is we're ideas people. We get excited about things. And so it's really super easy to get distracted by squirrels and
squirrel
objects.
Yep. Yes. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh, what about this? And then, I want to have this conversation. And
totally right now.
Yeah. Totally understand that.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about this white space on your calendar and blocking things. What do you strive for when you're thinking about white space on your own calendar?
I used to create the white space on Fridays, and I found that I don't use it as well at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. And so I still hold some white space on Fridays, but I actually moved it to Mondays and shifted a whole bunch of things in my week. So Monday is my get focused, get bleep done day. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I tackle all the things that are going to weigh heavily on me for the week. And usually it's, you know, I do have an admin assistant, but some admin that I need to take care of. Mm-hmm. And I get that done or like content creation. I could create it by Friday, but it'll take me longer because I'm tired on Fridays. Like I've already done
really
so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've learned to, you know, check in with my energy and document it.
Yes.
Right. Because I don't remember stuff. 15 minutes later, I'm like, I was in a great mood. And my kids will be like, you really weren't, you know, no, you weren't. You're really grumpy. So like I had great energy. Maybe I didn't. So I write it down and it shifts and changes, you know, with life stuff and, you know, becoming mature and hormone shifts and whatever. Like I have to check in a little bit more frequently with myself, but also to honor that because I get more done when I feel better, right? Mm. Like we make better choices when we feel better.
Totally.
And when we feel better, we make better choices. And now we've got, you know, this great water wheel moving for us.
Yeah.
So I do the same with time.
I love that. Totally love it. So where can people learn more about you and your business?
So a great place to connect would be on LinkedIn. I do spend a good amount of time on there. I like to do business networking there. They can certainly come to my website, which is tracytrubesky.com. And if you don't know how to spell it, hopefully you can click on it.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So what we always close with are what are three pearls of wisdom you'd like to leave with the audience today?
The first one I've already mentioned, which is to trust yourself. Trust your instincts. You know, my advice really around that would be to follow your heart and bring your logical mind right alongside with you. And that's one, I think, kind of a 1A, which I'll call 2, is ask lots of questions. Get super curious and get curious until you feel satisfied that your curiosity has been satisfied. Mm-hmm. So, and that could be for anything, right? For relationships, for work, for opportunities. take your time. And the third is really slow down, slow TF down. One is, if we're going really fast, to quote a French philosopher, you know, if we're going so fast, we miss the scenery. And the scenery is one of the most important parts of the journey. So don't be afraid to allow yourself to like stare at the sky and do nothing sometimes. I mean, you know, I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but it seems true that, you know, maybe cartoonists got a lot of inspiration by lying on their backs and staring at the sky and looking at the clouds. Mm-hmm. And so what if we allow ourselves that kind of space and permission to slow down so that we can really enjoy this journey that we're on?
Oh, I love that one. I love to lay and look at the sky, and I don't remember the last time I've done that. You know, we're just starting to get a little bit of warm weather here in Colorado.
Yeah, you won't freeze now.
I know that's going to be in my future here pretty soon. So
yeah, lovely.
That's a great one. Thank you so much. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so much fun to get to spend time with you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.